Please join me with our prayer for understanding of God's Word. Mighty God, send your Holy Spirit to speak peace, that the good news of this age may be proclaimed through your Word, which stands forever. Amen. How many of you, we've already been asked if we've been thanked. How many of you have been thanked for things that you don't even feel, I'm not really worthy of that thanks? I mean, because to me, this morning, I was thanked by my wife for bringing her coffee. Yeah, I'm worthy of that. I did that. I was thanked for bringing the cats into the room. I did that. And then I was thanked for being the most awesomest person ever. I'm going to accept that. I probably don't deserve it. But let me, in that spirit, I'd like to thank everybody in this congregation who has been supportive of our team. I always think that my team, I know when we've gotten there, when the kids have matured and they start to act like better people. And anybody in this church, and I know it's a lot of people that have added so many things, you know, with prayers, coming to games, watching online, just liking a status on our Facebook page. Thank you so much, because it really, it goes a long way. And I saw it yesterday when Dale and Vonda came to the game, and Vonda hugged every one of my players. And they all stepped right up and smiled so big, and they gave her hugs right back. And then one of my players said, "Hey, coach, who is that?" Now, of course, they're focused on the matches, but I just really appreciate things just like that. And it goes a long way for our girls becoming better people and maturing a lot. So thank you. Amen. Our scripture today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet of Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and the people of Jerusalem were going out to see him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for helping us to continue in this season of worship. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. Father, you speak into our lives. Sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. Nonetheless, you continue to speak. Therefore, grace unending, love unending, strength unending continue to flow into us. Help us to simply turn back and be open to that from you. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I deal with ornery people often. Now, if I happen to be looking at you right now, don't take it personal. I'm just trying to scan the congregation and the gathering. And two of these ornery people who happen to be very involved in technology and technology here at the church had said to me, "Wouldn't it be nice if, since I use my iPad, they could start sending me text messages during my sermon, letting me know how I'm doing, or, you know, the game's about to start, or something important like that, just to kind of, and it would pop up and maybe even ping and get my attention." So, therefore, this is the last Sunday I'll be using my iPad. No. Technology is a wonderful thing, and what you can do with technology. And especially at this time of year, we think about technology because all of these wonderful technological gadgets are displayed as the best gift. You know, you give this gift to somebody, they're going to know you really love them. And then guess what happens? The next version comes out in January. And now, what was new is old. And somebody wants that next thing. And that's what happens with technology. You always want that next thing. The message we hear from Mark today is at once new and old. It's new and exciting because it encapsulates the good news. Jesus Christ, that is the good news. Jesus Christ, that is the good news. And yet, in the very next verse, it goes back to something ancient. The prophet Isaiah. The prophets spoke of a time when God would be breaking in to His creation, into the lives of those who He has created, and God has created all of us. And that's what Advent is. God breaking in a new way. But clear back in the prophets, out of their mouths and out of their hearts and out of the yearning of their very souls for a deeper, more abiding presence of God, they said, there is one that will be coming that will make straight the way for the people of God. What path are we following in this season of Advent? Are we following that path that God has made for us through Jesus? We seek and claim that saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and yet are we following that path? The following story is relayed about the paths we follow and where they lead us by Reverend Dr. Samuel Massey. He tells of being in Washington, D.C. And as he was on tour, on vacation, he noticed all sorts of people begging for handouts and those who were talking with imaginary friends. He blinded himself to the presence of those around him. It can be distracting, maybe even uncomfortable, and he just ignored them. I ignored the human carnage around me, and as I walked, I started looking at a map. I was confused. Certain that I was headed for a particular museum, I began to stride boldly in the wrong direction. Anybody ever do that? I became aware of a very short African-American man beside me, and he was speaking to me. The passing traffic deafened me so that I couldn't hear what he was saying, but I decided it wouldn't be something that I wanted to hear, so I picked up my pace. Soon, however, I reached a busy street, and right on the corner there, I had to stop. That very moment, the man who I had been ignoring, who had been trying to get my attention, stepped in front of me and put his hand on my arm. Now I had no choice. I had to listen to what he had to say and protect my wallet at the same time. I bent down toward him, I'm sure, showing the aggravation and frustration and disgust on my face. "Young man," he said, "I don't know where you're going, but I can assure you that this is the wrong way. You are headed into the worst part of Washington and putting your life at risk. Turn around now and come back to where you came from." What he was offering to Reverend Dr. Massey was a word of repentance. certainly protecting him as well. And John, in our scripture passage this morning, offers that same word of repentance. Let me illustrate something to you. Repent, sinners! God loves you. Which are you going to respond to? Repentance. I might have woken you up with the first one. But the second one is the basis of repentance. I find myself unpacking that term, repent, again and again and again for people. Because too often people have been beat up with that term. And beat up spiritually. And beat up emotionally by that very terminology. And what it is what is illustrated in that story that I just shared with you. Listening for God, because God truly does want only what's best for us. And sometimes we boldly start heading in the wrong direction, saying, okay, God, I got it from here, thanks. Then all of a sudden, we start heading deeper and deeper into trouble. Further and further into a mess. Further away from God, at least what we think. And at those moments, all God wants from us is to turn back, which is what repent means, face God, and say, God, I'm all yours. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. An odd kind of message for a season of light, huh? Yeah. But a message nonetheless that is very much about what we're doing in Advent on this part of the journey. Turning back to God. Listening for God's voice. Not simply following our own agenda, but rather seeking to follow how God is guiding us. Now, does that mean that sometimes God guides us in a way that's unexpected? Absolutely. No question about it. Will sometimes God put somebody in front of us that we don't expect to be encountering and interacting with? Absolutely. And sometimes, as Reverend Massey found, it's for our own good, actually. Will there be things that God is stretching us to do? Yes. Yes. Because of the one that He has provided that is our namesake. And who is our namesake? Jesus. Who is our namesake? Yes. Because of that one that has made the path straight. We are going to then be able to follow how God guides us. Turn back, not in fear to God, knowing that God's grace, strengthening and encouraging and enlivening. What is guiding your path this season? What is motivating your steps? What is inspiring your actions, your words? A question that each of us simply needs to acknowledge. If it's anything other than God and God's love and grace, if it's anything else that bears the name of anything else besides Jesus, then we simply need to, and we can do that today, turn back to God and be filled and know that God is washing over us and loves us. The table of grace is prepared. And that means each and every one here is welcome. It's an open table. Those who would be serving communion along with me, I ask that you would come forward at this time. Jesus, after this encounter with John in the wilderness, much later in his ministry, gathered and broke bread, and he said some extraordinary words. He said, "This is my body, it's broken for you. You will be my body in the world." The body of Christ broken for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And more extraordinary words as he poured out the cup. And he said, "This is a reminder that you are forgiven. And you are to live as forgiven people, not fearful people. Forgiven. And you are to live in ways that you can share the love of God that has filled your hearts. This is my blood shed for forgiveness for the people of God. We are the people of God, and we have been forgiven through Jesus. Thanks be to God."